Gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Census Data Analysis Conference Call. Now, at this time, all participants are on a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Instructions will be given at that time. If you should require offline assistance, you may press star followed by zero. As a reminder, today's call is being recorded. And starting off, we have Lawrence Michel. Please go ahead.
Hi, yeah, this is Larry Michel, President of EPI. I want to welcome everybody to this phone call to analyze these data on, income, poverty, and health insurance. The way we're going to proceed is to have four short presentations, starting with Elise Gould talking about the health insurance coverage numbers. Then our friend Larry Katz from Harvard is going to talk about household income and income numbers. Heidi Sheerholtz from EPI will talk about poverty. And I'll conclude with some comments on the labor market data. And then we will go to Q&A, which will be governed by the AT&T operator. So just to start it off, here's Elise Gould.
I'm going to talk briefly about the health insurance numbers, and then we'll be available to answer any questions you have afterwards. So this will be rather brief. The number of Americans without health insurance coverage rose from 45.7 million in 2007 to 46.3 million in 2008, according to the report released today by the U.S. Census Bureau. The number of uninsured Americans is nearly 8 million higher than it was in 2000. The share of Americans with employer-sponsored health insurance declined for the eighth year in a row, down from 59.3% in 2008 to 58.5% in 2007, a total decline of 5.7 percentage points since 2000. The only reason why the drop in employer-sponsored insurance did not translate into a direct increase in the share uninsured is because 3 million more people were covered by Medicaid and SCHIP in 2008. That's primarily among children. The decline in ESI coverage throughout, or employer-sponsored insurance coverage throughout the 2000s, was felt across the country, with a statistically significant decline in employer-sponsored coverage in 42 states. No state saw a statistically significant increase in coverage over this period, so nearly every state did find a decline. These modest increases in the uninsured are only the tip of the iceberg. The recession that began in December 2007 and took hold in 2008 worsened in 2009. Given that the economy has deteriorated significantly since 2008, the current state of health insurance is worse than today's report shows. My predictions indicate that for this year, we would see that the percent uninsured would increase significantly. The number of uninsured is likely to be closer to 50 million today, and the percent without, the percent with employer-sponsored insurance is going to decline, I would say, close to 3 percentage points between last year and this year, to around 59% with ESI today. So while the report does show modest declines in that, I think that will accelerate significantly to today. The growing lack of health security further reinforces the need for immediate and large-scale health reform of the U.S. healthcare system.
Okay, thanks, Elise. Okay, Larry Katz.
Okay, thanks. So the new data released by the Census Bureau provide us with a first look at the early impacts of the current deep recession on the economic well-being of American families, and it is not at all a pretty picture. There is a large 3.6% decline in the real income of the typical American household. That's real median household income. That's the largest decline in the first year of a recession in real incomes that we have seen since the Census Bureau has been collecting data since World War II. And there was also a sharp increase in poverty from 12.5% in 2007 to 13.2% in 2008, and an even larger increase in child poverty. Additionally, real earnings, median real earnings fell for both men and women by a substantial amount, by over 1% for each group. And a phrase that you will hear a lot in this is that this is just the beginning or the tip of the iceberg, because 2008 was not nearly as bad an economy as 2009. In fact, you need to remember these numbers cover the whole year of 2008, and the average unemployment rate was 5.8% in 2008 as compared to today's 9.7%. And so far this year, the unemployment rate has averaged 9%, and it will likely have a higher average than that for the year. The unemployment rate went up substantially from 2007 to 8, from 4.6 to 5.8, but it's gone up much more since, at least a 3 percentage point increase in the unemployment rate we'll see from 2008 to 2009. Thus, we are likely to see further large declines in real household incomes, larger increases in poverty. Furthermore, the other point I'd like to, final point I'd like to make is that this recession, these numbers basically allow us to close the book on the 2000 sort of boom and how meager it was. Through 2007, the end of the last boom, in fact, real household incomes for the typical family were no higher, in fact, lower than they were in the previous peak in 2000. And now with the devastating losses of this recession, we've basically seen a lost decade for the typical American family. Real median household income is 4.2% lower than it was in 2000. Only the very top end of the income distribution was doing better in 2007 than it had in 2000. And we are now seeing a pattern that is very scary, a pattern in this recession of widespread losses. That is, income losses show up in the high end of the distribution, the middle and the bottom, among the more educated, among the less educated, across regions in the country, among minorities, among whites. So we have a fairly egalitarian recession, but we had a very plutocratic boom. So when you put together egalitarian recessions and plutocratic booms, it basically means only the top end on average is doing well, and the typical American family has been left behind. Not since the 1990s boom have we seen anything that looks like shared prosperity. And the final point is that long-term unemployment has been increasing dramatically this year. The number of full-time, full-year workers fell tremendously in the census data last year by about 4.5 million, and that's going to get worse this year since we know the share of workers working part-time involuntarily has gone up dramatically. So everything suggests that even with the poor picture of 2008 that these numbers suggest in household income throughout the distribution, that things likely have gotten a lot worse in 2009.
Thank you very much, Larry. Now, Heidi Scherholz from EPI.
Okay, and I'm here. I will talk briefly about poverty, the poverty numbers. Between 2007 and 2008, an additional 2.6 million people slipped below the poverty line as the poverty rate increased from 12.5% to 12.2%. And this is actually about what we would have expected, given the 1.2 percentage point increase in unemployment between these 2 years. And as Larry Katz just mentioned, this is really just the tip of the iceberg for what we expect will be the total effect in the end of this recession on poverty in this country. And at the end of this little talk, I'll give some projections of what we think is probably going on right now and into 2010. The poverty rate for children at 19.0% in 2008 was higher than the overall rate and increased more by 1 percentage point from 2007. That 2008 rate represents 14.1 million kids living in poverty. That's over one-third of all people living in poverty are children. Over the business cycle of the 90s, there was a lot of progress made in reducing poverty. Overall poverty declined by 1.5 percentage points. Child poverty declined by 3.5 percentage points. Those are numbers, declines from 1989 to 2000. Much of that improvement has now been reversed. The increase in overall poverty has increased 1.9 percentage points from 2000 to 2008. And child poverty has increased 2.8 percentage points over this same period. And I think another important thing to note is that the federal poverty threshold, as currently measured, is widely understood by poverty researchers to be an outdated measure of the income needed to make ends meet. And poverty experts actually often use twice the poverty line as a more accurate threshold for material deprivation. In 2008, 31.9% of all people, that's 96 million people, were living below twice their poverty threshold. This was up from 30.5% in 2007. The numbers were even higher for kids. In 2008, 40.6% of kids, that's 30.1 million kids, were living below twice poverty. And another thing that we see in this data is that Hispanics were particularly hard hit by increases in poverty in 2008. Their poverty rate increased by 1.6 percentage points from 21.5% in 2007 to 23.2% in 2008. The large increase in Hispanic poverty in 2008 compared to earlier in this decade, when Hispanics actually saw no increases in poverty while other groups did, that change is likely related to Hispanic concentration in the construction industry, which has been particularly hard hit this recession due to the bursting of the housing bubble. Okay, as I mentioned earlier, the increases in poverty in 2008 capture only a fraction of what will be the ultimate effect of the current recession on the living standards of Americans. So based on unemployment projections for the rest of 2009 and 2010, along with the relationship between unemployment and poverty, we've projected changes in poverty for 2009 and 2010. We think that the overall poverty will likely increase by 1.5 percentage points in 2009 and by an additional 0.4 percentage points in 2010 for a total increase over from 2007 to 2010 of 2.6 percentage points. And given the increase in poverty over the business cycle of the first business cycle of the 2000s from 2000 to 2007, this means that poverty rates will have increased by nearly 4 percentage points over the 10 years from 2000 to 2010. And in 2010, we project poverty rates will be over 15%. For children, the poverty rate will likely increase to 25% in 2009. Right now, I believe 1 in 4 kids are living in poverty. That will increase to 26.6% in 2010. For a total increase from 2000 to 2010 of 10.4 percentage points. That lost decade that Larry Katz mentioned, you can really see that here. For blacks, the poverty rate will likely increase by an additional 7.1 percentage points up to 2010. In 2010, nearly one-third of all African Americans living in the U.S. will be living in poverty. And for single mother families of any race, the number will likely be even higher. We project by 2010, it will be around 38%. So today's report shows that the anti-poverty gains made in the 90s have come to a halt, and that the effects of the current recession, along with the weak business cycle from 2000 to 2007, mean that the poorest Americans are now facing substantial declines in their living standards. Thanks.
Thank you, Heidi. This is Larry Michel. So taking off from Larry Katz's point that this was the largest decline of income, the 3.6% for the first year of a recession, which also makes it the largest decline basically on record. I want to draw on some of the labor market data to point out that this is rooted in a really widespread erosion of hours of work and of real earnings. What really, as Larry Katz mentioned, one of the things that really sticks out is that the number of people working full-time and full year, full-time being 35 hours a week or more, full year meaning at least 50 weeks out of the 52, including vacations, there was a decline of 4.5 million. Heavily men more than women, but there was a big decline. And that's in spite of the fact that the total number of earners in 2008 versus 2007 was essentially the same. So among the people that were working in the year, just a huge number less were able to work both full-time and full year. The erosion of the is equally due to people shifting from full-time work to part-time work, and the other part being those who were not able to get a full year's worth of weeks worked. What this led to is the fact that the annual earnings of the median worker, the typical worker, declined by 4% in real terms. That is a huge, huge decline, and captures both the loss of hours of work per year, as well as the decline relative to inflation of, you know, the hourly wage rate of people. The wage rate is sort of captured by when you look at the earnings of full-time fill-year workers, which declined by 1% for men and 1.9% for women. So we have a very widespread fall off in people able to work, and that, you know, both full-time and full-year. And this is in the context of not a you know, large increase in unemployment relative to the first year of other recessions. So there's something special going on here in terms of lost work opportunities. With that, let me just mention that many of us threw out a lot of numbers. There will be, from EPI, some written documents that will be available soon on the web. So if you didn't copy all those numbers down, you can either call us up and we'll get them to you and confirm them, or you can look on the web for the finished analyses. And with that, we'll now do Q&A.
And ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star followed by 1 on your touchtone phone. You will hear a tone indicating that you are in queue. You may remove yourself from queue at any time by pressing the pound key. We please ask that you limit your questions to one question per queue. For example, if you queue up, please ask a question. If you have a second question, please press star followed by 1 again to be placed in queue. Okay, first question is from the line of Bob Garrett, Dallas Morning. Please go ahead.
This is a question for Elyse Gould. What do you say to conservative analysts who say that if you look back over the last decade, the percent of the population that's uninsured has changed very little, and that they maintain that there's crowd out to the government programs, Medicaid and SCHIP? What is your response? Would you say those programs are keeping it from being a lot worse?
Yes, absolutely. I think those programs are keeping it from getting a lot worse. I think that our continued reliance on employer-sponsored insurance as the main source of coverage for particularly the under 65 may be stretching it a bit, right? It's like the primary source and it's the backup source. And for people who don't have access to that or lose their jobs are going to lose access to that coverage. And you don't see that translate directly into increases in the number of uninsured. Because, as you said, because of the rise in Medicaid or SCHIP, and I don't believe that there's much crowd out there. We've seen from the numbers today that Heidi reported on that there's been an increase in poverty. That means an increase likely in eligibility for these types of programs, and that is not because people are dropping their private insurance and picking up public, but simply because now they are eligible and they are going to increase their coverage rates. So while there is a sad story told in the poverty numbers for kids, we do actually see that they don't have a decline in the number of uninsured children, and that is only because of this increase in public insurance coverage.
They don't have an increase, you said not a decline. It's not an increase.
And
that's
our next
right.
question
that's
is
right.
from the line of Mark Patterson of Catholic News. Please go ahead.
This question is for maybe Larry, maybe for Heidi, because I've heard different projections bandied about what could happen in 2009, 2010. Did you make any similar predictions last year after the Census Bureau released their figures? Because at this time last year, there had been no federal takeover of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. There had been no financial rescue package. There had been no stimulus package. There had been no government deal with the GM and Chrysler.
Well, this is Larry Michel responding to that. Everyone who asks a question of a Larry has to mention Katz or Michel. We've used two types of projections. One, we draw on work by Becky Blank, formerly of Brookings, for her projections of poverty and its relationship to unemployment. And we find that poverty sort of grew as expected, at least in her models. We've also used some projections by Tim Bartik of the Upjohn Institute for how much the income of the middle fifth would decline given the increase of unemployment. And what's really kind of startling is that that model, which takes data up through the early 2000s, would suggest that the middle income loss would be around 1.7%. In fact, it was double that. So there's something, at least on the income level in the middle, that's going on a lot more disappointing than we would have expected, given the projections.
Next question is from the line of John Braley of AARP. Please go ahead.
Hi, this question is for Elise and possibly Larry as well. The numbers released today don't show a huge impact for the elderly, and of course in either health insurance due largely to Medicare, and also the poverty numbers, from my understanding, don't look that dramatic for the elderly as well. But the way things are going, both in the insurance and in the insurance sector and the general economy, I would think there might be some whiplash or some secondary effect on that population. So could you address that, whether you expect to see either next year in the numbers or some effect that may not show up in the numbers on the elderly, both in health insurance and poverty? Thank you.
Oh, well, this is Larry Michel. Larry Katz, you want to say a little bit about elderly and income, and then we'll go to the health care.
In 2008, the elderly households headed by the elderly were the only group that didn't really see a decline in income as measured by the census, and not much change in poverty. Of course, you know, one key thing that the census data miss is that it doesn't get the wealth of the elderly, which many of them were devastated, obviously, by the stock market downturn, and that really doesn't show up because capital gains and losses are not included in there. So the way we traditionally measure things, if your income is largely coming through things like Social Security and others, you know, that's not much affected, you know, by this recession. There clearly there are elderly who work and who have other sources of income, but it wasn't large enough yet in 2008. I think we'll see more in 2009. But I think these data are not very good for getting at the economic well-being of the elderly and what they had in savings, which was greatly affected. And you've actually seen a large delaying of retirement by a number of people in the labor market data because of the negative shocks to their wealth and retirement savings.
Okay. Lisa, you want to say anything about
It looks to me, and I could maybe get back to you later if I look at this a little bit more closely, that what we're seeing is really no change for those 65 and older in terms of the percent and the number of uninsured. I'd have to get back to you with more details on that. It does look like perhaps they have increased somewhat in their private coverage, but also their raw numbers of Medicare as the population has increased.
Well, this is Larry Michel. I mean, let me just say the obvious. For the elderly who have their Social Security inflation adjusted and who don't rely as much on income from work, it shouldn't be surprising that they were held relatively unharmed by the downturn. And given that the elderly also are covered by Medicare, there's not going to be a lot of action there. That's a testament to having a robust social insurance program, which in a recession is a really, really great thing to have. Next question.
Once again, if there are additional questions, please press star followed by one at this time. Okay, we have a question in the line of Don Lee, the LA Times. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for doing the call. This is a question for Larry Katz. Are you expecting the 2009 median household income to fall even more than it did last year? And can you speak a little more specifically about the various factors that would lead to that, apart from, you know, the obvious unemployment going up and the job losses? Are there any specific things that you're seeing that will contribute to, you know, even higher earning declines?
Yes. Well, the things we think, you know, most clearly are going to be associated with substantial earnings declines are, remember, from 2007 to 2008, unemployment went up, but only went up 1.2 percentage points, and it's already gone up. Even if we ended this year in August, it would be a 3 percentage point increase, more than twice as much as 2007 to 2008, and it's likely going to be higher than that, since I don't know any analyst who thinks the unemployment rate is going to be lower in the next 4 months than it's been the first 8 months of this year. Almost certainly it will be higher. So historical evidence would suggest when you have very large increases in unemployment is if you look at other post-war recessions, the second year, say, of the 74-75 recession, when there was a bigger increase in unemployment, had a much bigger decline in real family income. The only thing that I can say is that there's going to be a bit of a issue in looking at the 2009 numbers having to do exactly what deflator you use and how you deal with sort of things like volatile commodity prices such as oil prices and stuff. But I think if we look at a more stable price index, all the economic indicators, unemployment's gone up more, the share of workers working full-time has fallen more in 2009 than 2008, and people's income from capital because of the devastating declines, in asset markets in late 2008 also play in there. So I think we're going to see very widespread losses in 2009 versus 2008 in terms of family incomes.
This is Larry Michaud. Let me just add that as horrific the circumstances of 2009 are, and that we can expect really large income losses between 2008 and 2009. Had there not been a robust recovery package, which is, in our estimate, saving around 200 to 250,000 jobs a month, we would probably have ended up with an unemployment rate in 2009, which is somewhere between 1 and 2 percentage points higher, and the losses would be that much more devastating. So it's going to be bad. It could have been worse. It's no reason for celebration, but it is just to acknowledge the role that policy can have in ameliorating the increase in unemployment and the great damage done.
Yeah, I just like this. Larry Katz raised one related point that a very important policy given in the labor market has been the extensions in unemployment insurance benefits that happened in the recovery package. We right now are seeing record high levels of long-term unemployment, so a huge number of people facing exhaustion of even their extended benefits coming up in the next couple months, and this is something on the plate for Congress to deal with, but that's an important factor. That's one of the main income sources that is keeping those out of work somewhat in not as bad shape as they'd otherwise be, and that's going to be a very important issue over the next few months.
The next question is from the line of Jerome Adasek of Kipling Letter. Please go ahead.
A question for Larry Katz. What is counted as income? And if wealth loss from stocks and housing is not counted, how will it show up in 2009 when the data come out in 2010?
So the way income is measured by the census, and they actually have many different measures of income, but their standard measure of income is what's known as pre-tax post-transfer money income. And they define, money income as essentially your labor market earnings. It does attempt to try to include sort of dividends. It doesn't really capture capital gains and losses. It tries to get money transfers of income. So essentially, if you receive a TANF payment or an unemployment insurance payment, that ends up in there. But if you receive in-kind payments, such as food stamps or the value of your Medicaid, that's not included in the income numbers. So the census data is not very good at capturing things that are going on, the way the stock market affects your income and your assets there. There you can do much better in the IRS data, but even there it's sort of incomplete because people, most capital losses have to be realized and they're capped in the tax data. So we basically miss out in our income measures at how bad the impact has been, and one has to look at the flow of funds data and the survey of consumer finances that the Federal Reserve Board puts together to get what's happening to the wealth of typical families, and those data come out with somewhat of a lag. But when we have sort of 2009 survey of consumer finance data, we'll have a much better sense of what's happening to the overall economic well-being of the typical family.
Yeah, next question is from the line of Mark Patterson, Catholic News. Please go ahead.
Thank you. This is a question regarding health insurance, and I'm sure that a lot of the focus of today's census report has to do with what President Obama said last night. And has EPI done any projections on just how closely or how much more of the American population would be covered by health insurance by the plans that have been bandied about in Congress, or any kind of rough sketch of whether President Obama said 95% of the American public would be covered under the principles he outlined last night.
I think the best way to look at those projections is really to go to the Congressional Budget Office there. That's where his numbers are coming from. What he did point out, though, that as the status quo really not being sustainable into the future, he was pointing to about 14,000 more people are becoming uninsured every day. That, again, is a reflection of the economy today, and that leads to my same prediction of about 50 million probably uninsured non-elderly Americans today.
Our next question is from the line of Don Lee, LA Times. Please go ahead.
Hi. This is regarding health insurance. I was wondering if there was evidence out there that states, because of their budget situation, have delayed or enrollment or taken any other steps that could result in fewer children in Medicaid enrollees so that those numbers, which obviously offset the employment-based coverage last year, declined, whether it would continue to do so this year or whether you wouldn't expect as much.
Well, I think I can answer that really on the national level, although I said earlier that we did see that employer-sponsored health insurance did drop pretty consistently across the states. 42 states had a statistically significant decline in coverage over the 2000s. So that's over that whole period. It's hard to compare year to year because the states are so small, so there's not so much data in them. But if you look at the national numbers, you do see that across the board, Medicaid is really picking up those kids. So we did see that pickup in Medicaid for children between 2007 and 2008. So I can't tell you exactly which states might have changed policies to pick up different kids, but I know overall that that has been the trend.
And once again, if there are additional questions, please press star followed by one at this time.
I just want to add on that as well that the funding from the federal government increased funding towards the Medicaid programs in the states, and that would have also helped to shore up that program to keep kids insured.
That's part of the stimulus package.
That is part of the stimulus package. So that would have helped in this year. So I would think we would continue to see those trends continue.
Our next question is from the line of Ruth Kelly, Congress Daily. Please go ahead.
Hi. I was wondering, a lot of people seem to have more than one job or multiple part-time jobs as kind of a substitute for having a full-time, full-year job. Is that accounted for in your data?
This is Larry and Michelle, given that the fact is that in the monthly employment data that BLS provides, it's roughly 5% of people report working more than one job. It is somewhat less than what's popularly thought, and it hasn't changed all that much from over the last few years, actually. It's not when the data that I reported, and that Larry Katz and I were both talking about, I think really refers to the longest job you had in the year, whether it was full-time, full-year. It's not really all your different jobs at a time or even seriatim. If there's a big loss in the number of jobs that people hold at a particular time, it is not reflected in the data we reported. It would be reflected in the income numbers. So it could be responsible for some of the decline of median household income, that you have less jobs per person.
And once again, please press star followed by one if there are questions.
I'm going to follow up and say something else about workers, since there's not an immediate question.
This is Elise Gould talking.
Talking about health insurance coverage. I mentioned somewhat about kids, and we did see that they didn't have much of a change there because they had ESI losses and increases in Medicaid. But if we look at Americans 18 to 64, if we look particularly at workers, since we were just talking about workers, for those that work during the year, We do see a statistically significant increase in the number of workers who are uninsured by about 1 million workers. So 1 million more workers became uninsured between 2007 and 2008.
Okay, at this time we have no further questions in queue.
Okay, well, thank you all very much. You can feel free to follow up with that. And maybe, Larry Katz, maybe you should give the phone number for you so that...
Sure. It's 617-613-1202.
Okay, and people know to call here to get their media outreach folks at 202-331-5546. And you'll reach Nancy Coleman, and she can get you everything you need. So thank you all very much, and thank you, AT&T.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude your conference. We do thank you for joining while using AT&T Executive Teleconference. You may now disconnect.